This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's time to go blitzing on Grant and Danny. Quick little lay of the land for you. We will get your fantasy lineup set with our buddy Chris Raybon in the 1 o'clock hour of the show. And at 1:55, the third and the final opportunity to win a pair of tickets to Redskins Giants. We'll get into Mark Sanchez and the Redskins coming up at 12:18. What do we expect from the brand new quarterback as he takes over for Washington? 12:35 here on The Fan. We're live at Nationals Park. Patrick Corbin's press conference will come your way via 106.7 The Fan as it happens. And we'll talk to Corbin and Mark Lerner. So it's going to be a really cool hour ahead. But let's start things off with our Beltway Blitz. Multiple teams, one segment on the gridiron.
Redskins.
Chris Russell. You know him as Rini. You know him as Slash. You know him as the Rooster. Most importantly, you know him as a Redskins insider.
You know him.
Christopher. Mark Sanchez on Sunday. What's going to happen?
Well, what I hope to see more of is the Mark Sanchez we saw at the end of the first half than the Mark Sanchez we saw in the second half. I mean, he admitted, guys, as you probably heard, that he didn't know much of the terminology and the play calling structure and the system. I know Jay Gruden was very frustrated at yesterday's practice, problems with cadence and lining up and all that. And this is exactly why it makes very little sense to bring in a guy like Colin Kaepernick, as we both all agree on, because this is a really, really cerebral position. You don't learn it in a week. You don't learn it in 2 weeks. And Mark Sanchez is clearly struggling, but we know that he's got a little special moxie in him. He's been in big games before. This is still, for better or worse, a big game because the Redskins can keep their playoff hopes alive at 7-6 with the Eagles or the Cowboys canceling each other out in their game on Sunday.
Russell, is he the best-looking quarterback from a physical look standpoint in team history?
Oh, he's hunky, yeah. He's dreamy. There's no doubt about it. I mean,
physical appearance?
Yeah, who's on the podium? Top of your head.
Yeah, let's go gold, silver, and bronze. If Sanchez is gold, give me the second biggest dreamboat and the third biggest hunk in Redskins quarterbacking history.
Of the ones I've covered, so I'll just leave it at that. I would say, I would have to put Kirk number two, right?
Wow.
I mean,
Kirk.
I'd have to put Kirk number two.
Alex Smith's getting the shaft here. He's got piercing eyes and abs.
Yeah, I was going to say Alex Smith is number three for me. I don't know if there's much of an argument to be made for Sanchez, Kirk Cousins with those dreamy bluish eyes, and then Alex Smith.
Now, I'm not talking about a congressman or whatever he is, Heath Shuler. Drafted right out of Tennessee, Heath Shuler, with that $1 trillion haircut that's parted just so, the 1,000-yard stare. We didn't know he was just going to run the option or just be terrible, but man, oh man, was he a handsome dude.
This is a really strange segment.
I'd like to say as well, I think you guys sleep on Joe Theismann in his prime. Really good-looking guy.
Oh, come on.
Joe Theismann, when he played for the Skins.
Good-looking guy now. Are you crazy?
I agree. He's like a good-looking older man now.
Yeah.
But when he played, great-looking guy.
Yeah, very handsome man.
I think both of you guys are good-looking guys.
Russell, you're
Rini, you're a better-looking guy because you're on EMP 180.
You're just saying it because you're talking to
us. I am indeed. Man, check back with me in 6 months. We'll see that.
How's the program going so far?
Oh, it's going wonderful.
Have you lost any LBs?
Yes, I've lost. I mean, I haven't had my official, first weigh-in yet, but I know
I
can just tell. Yeah,
now, the early weight falls off, and you're amazed at how well it works. Russell, I want to pre-congratulate you. You might lose more weight doing jumping jacks and patting yourself on the back here this weekend. I envision the running games will be front and center. No points or anything, but people will just be establishing the hell out of that run deep into the afternoon. That's got to be the recipe, right, to give to Adrian Peterson and hope?
I'd like to believe that, Danny, but how do you go into a second half after only running the ball seven times in the first half, including a 90-yard run against a defense that's getting gashed all year long against the run, allowing 4.9 yards per carry in the Eagles, and then only run it seven times when you're down by one at the half? How does that happen? So I'd like to believe with Mark Sanchez, but I would have believed that on Monday night, and it did not happen. So I think anything is game. Now, here's the problem. It makes sense. It's the smart philosophy. It's what I believe they will try and do. But, guys, if they're getting ripped apart by Saquon Barkley and Odell Beckham, who, by the way, just landed on the injury report, I believe he's got a bruised heel or some sort of something with his foot. I don't expect that to be a major thing. But if they're getting torn apart, then, bam, out goes the running game.
Russell, are you losing your voice, or is there a weird high-pitched thing happening that I'm not aware of?
I heard him on air last night, and it was crackling.
I keep hearing an old grandpa like, I know that you're going to be there. Take a lozenger.
I've become Tom Lavero Jr. overnight.
That's a good thing.
You're like a couple weeks away from full-on lovey right now.
Yeah. I mean, hopefully I get it back at some point because, as you know, guys, with the Capitals on the West Coast and so much need for the Rooster, I'm
going
to do
a four-hour... Sounds like he's going through puberty, doesn't it?
Yeah, dude, he was fighting it last night.
Yeah, I've got to do a four-hour show tonight with Ashu, and then I get the extra bonus of doing a four-hour show tomorrow afternoon when a lot of people are going to be listening to the Fan on a Saturday afternoon late style before the Capitals.
Get your hot tea with lemon, rest, recoup.
Get a lozenge.
And get a bunch of cough drops, my friend. Enjoy it, buddy.
I'm trying.
We'll see you,
fellas.
True story real quick before Nick Ashew.
Uh-huh.
I still think about this all the time. It's the saddest thing ever.
Uh-huh.
This kid came to my house to help, like, pave my driveway when I was homesick one time that was, like, my age. And he was working with his dad to, like, pave the driveway. And his voice was just squeaky and loud. And my dad, I still remember this. I was like, Dad, did you hear that guy's voice? And he looked at me and he's like, yeah, Grant, he probably doesn't go to school because he's so embarrassed by his voice. So you should make fun of it more.
Oh,
and like, it was like the greatest,
God.
It was like the greatest lesson my dad's ever taught me where I'm like, looking back, it's so true.
Yeah.
That kid dropped out of school that year because his voice was that bad that he was just helping his dad build driveways.
That's like a Mortal Kombat dad finishing move.
I couldn't believe
it. Oh my
God. It was like
God.
Making me walk to work when my car should have been. I don't know what I'm saying. Nick Ashew.
Bring on Nick.
Let's bring on Nick. Speaking of good-looking quarterbacks.
The Wizards.
He played quarterback in some backyard football games at one time. Nicholas, the Cavs tomorrow. Really exciting matchup between two of the elites in the East.
Two very compelling teams. Yeah, by the way, I'm really excited that Russell's losing his voice because tonight I may have the opportunity to get a couple of sentences in on the show without him, you know, taking over the entire thing. So that's going to be great. I'll let him rest his voice a little bit. Yeah, look, I mean, the Wizards have won three straight, but, you know, look, it's the Cavs. They better win again tonight. And it was the Hawks, and they should have beaten the Hawks, and they should have beaten them bad. By the way, though, they are 9-5 since they started off 2-9. So it is a situation where you can kind of look at it and say, at certain points during the season, every team has a bad stretch, right? The problem is that the Wizards just had the bad stretch right at the beginning of the year, so it magnified it because that was their overall record when they're on the West Coast the whole time. So they've been able to turn things around a little bit. It's a hole they have to dig out of, but they're at least in a better position now than they were, you know, 2 weeks ago.
No, they are, and of course, it's the worst thing they could be doing. They're costing themselves ping pong balls and a chance to get out of this rut. Every win, I think, gets them a further step away from where they need to go, even further from a championship, if that makes any sense. This group is constructed, can't do it, but they are doing it now. Thomas Bryant at center, sharing the basketball a little bit. When they get more than 29 assists, which is a nice little benchmark for them, Nick, they're a much better team. It reminds me of Everybody Eats.
Yeah, 35 against the Hawks. Thomas Bryant's become a guy that's really improved for this team. He's become really a bright spot, and it's funny because they wanted to get more athletic in the front court, right? So they went out and got Dwight Howard, and they wanted a guy that was a rim runner. Well, Dwight Howard barely played this year. Thomas Bryant's become that guy, and every team needs to try and find a couple of players that they can sort of develop, you know, become part of their system, especially now with having your own G League team. The Wizards have that, and now Thomas Bryant's becoming a guy who's been thrust into this starting role and really starting to not just evolve, but show a lot of confidence, too. I mean, he looks good out there. He looks like somebody that belongs in the starting line of an NBA team. I mean, he's not an all-star, but, I mean, the kid's, what, still 21 years old. He's played 30-something games in his career, so it's a nice bright spot for this team.
Nick, thank you for the time, buddy. We appreciate you.
You're very handsome.
Of course, guys.
See you, buddy.
Did you hear, like, the weights being thrown around in the back room at the gym that he was at?
I guarantee you he was on the leg press machine while he was talking to us, not even breaking a sweat, not even breathing heavy.
Was it That's leg Nick press Asher. Or was he doing curls?
Listen, maybe both at the same time.
Probably.
Maybe both at the same time.
He probably does like curls and legs.
I don't skip leg day. I'm Nick Ashew. That's how he talks
he
to himself in his head.
He does leg day and back day. Back day, I think?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
What about arm day?
Yeah. But they're all the same day every day.
Neck day?
I guarantee he's got a neck day.
Does he?
I bet
they're
like,
all at the same time.
Like some of us, when we get to a certain age, start to wrinkle. Like he has a neck day to prevent any neck wrinklage. You know what I'm saying? Like he's got a piece of medicine.
I know he's got
like
a face day.
Piece of equipment.
Oh, every day's face day for Nick Ashew.
You know what I would do if I looked like him? I'd be the worst person ever.
If I looked like him,
I'd be so arrogant.
I would go to the beach each weekend, but I would wear one of those like bathing suits.
Yeah.
Where it's not a Speedo, but it's not a bathing suit. It's like the in between, like tight,
sure,
like guy boy shorts bathing suit.
Of course.
That's what I would wear.
Yeah.
Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, I'd wear as little clothes as possible all the time and always be in public.
Yeah.
And I wouldn't treat people very well. I would be mean. I would be a mean-spirited person.
I wouldn't be mean. I'd be nice.
I would be so mean.
But I would do things that would, like, request that they compliment how I look. Like, so, anybody notice anything about me today?
You're going to make me wait this face and point at myself?
This face. That's a good one. Grant and Danny on 106.7 The Fan. Thank you to Chris Russell and Nick Ashew for joining the Beltway Blitz. We got a press conference today on The Fan. Patrick Corbin, the $140 million acquisition, will join us after that press conference, which airs at 12:30 right here on G&D. Next, Mark Sanchez's first start with the Redskins. Got some details on what he might be able to run, what they might have to table. Next. Patrick Corbin's press conference will be aired live on 106.7 The Fan coming up in about 15 minutes. Corbin will then join us on the show, as will Mark Lerner today. Welcoming you back from the coach's office in the clubhouse over at Nationals Park. We're G&D, but we are not turning our attention too far away from the Redskins and the Giants. Washington is 6-6. They are still just a half game out in the wild card chase, and they still have some tiebreaker-friendly things going for them if they can get back on track. Operation unlikely, though, and it looks like mission may be impossible with Sanchez taking over at QB. Everyone hears that and they think, I think Mark Sanchez is terrible. I don't. I'm just realistic about Mark Sanchez. Mark Sanchez in 2013 didn't play. Mark Sanchez in 2014 had a quarterback rating of 88. Mark Sanchez in 2015 had a quarterback rating barely out of the 70s. In 2016 and in 2017, he didn't start a game and he threw 18 passes. This is a guy that since 2012, just for sake of comparison, that was the Robert Griffin rookie year, which feels like forever ago now, 6 years back. That's the last time he was a starter in this league. There's a reason for that. We said it with Colt McCoy. There are sack issues. There are turnover issues. Now, you could tell me, Danny, he was in the AFC Championship game twice. And you're right. Beginning of his career, the trajectory was very different. I won't even say that he was just a lucky passenger in those AFC title game runs. I don't know that that's completely fair to him, but it's a lot more the case than it isn't. I mean, he went 12-20 for the Jets as a rookie. In the 2 years after, 17-13, 26-18 in terms of touchdowns and interceptions. But in two of his 4 years as a starter, he threw more picks than touchdowns.
I will say that he was a passenger. As a rookie, as you touched on, 12 touchdowns, 20 picks for a team that went to the AFC title game. He had very little to do with it. His job was to take snaps and hand it off to Ladain and Tomlinson and give it to Sean Green as well.
Defense, by the way, it's like the Ravens defense now or you know, Pittsburgh's defense a few years ago. It was you're scoring 13 points this week. If you can somehow manage to hold us to less than that, you could probably beat us.
Yeah, tip of the cap.
If we get to 17, you lose.
You took a measured, adult, reasonable approach just now to what you said. I commend you for it. I will not. He is terrible. He's available in week 14 because he's terrible. If he was any good, he would have been on a team. It's not his fault. There's a lot of things that you can be bad at, and he's better than 99.9% of the world's population, a quarterback, but he's worse than 60 guys, 70 guys right now that are going to take snaps or be in line to take snaps this week in terms of backups, etc. He's a third-string quarterback with 2 weeks to prepare. He is going to be a disaster. The fact that there was any movement of the football at all this past week to me is miraculous. Now that there's a week for a defense to kind of figure out and go back and look at some tape and figure out what he might do well based on Redskins' tendencies, etc., it's going to be pretty easy to take away, and you're going to see disastrous. We have a bar that should be set incredibly low, and it's not a reflection of Sanchez. I guess it partly is, but any third-string quarterback on a team with this kind of injuries, lack of offensive talent, is going to struggle in this environment.
And that's what I come back to, Danny, is Mark Sanchez, whatever you think of him, let's say you rank the top 50 quarterbacks in the NFL, and he comes in, give me a number, I don't care what it is.
In, if you're saying he's in the top 50?
Yeah, we're going to say he's in the top 50. Where are you putting him?
50.
Okay. All right, good. So
if you gave me 70, he'd be 70.
Okay, so let's say he's the 50th quarterback in the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
If he had been here since OTAs,
uh-huh,
and knew the offense and had been in the quarterback meeting room week in and week out and went through all of the practices and got even the scout team reps week in and week out with this team and knew the personnel, whatever the expectation there is of the 50th best quarterback, that has to be taken,
yes,
crumbled up, thrown in the trash, and now watered down immensely because he's been here for less than three calendar weeks.
Yeah,
understand this.
You gave him all of that. Now he's in the 40s. Now he's upper 30s with 72 and sunny.
I mention this every day this week, and I will mention it every day for the next 2 weeks. You're going to get tired of hearing about it. Sorry. Dems the brakes. Jay Gruden, in his conference call on Tuesday, after the Monday night loss, said Mark Sanchez knew 10% of the playbook, maybe. He was being generous. Maybe. Against the Dallas Cowboys on Thanksgiving when he was the backup. He speculated that when he took the field in a game and played for over a half against the Eagles on primetime on Monday Night Football, he knew maybe 20% of the playbook. That was in a week and a half, he gained about 10 more percent of the playbook. He's going to have 6 days this time. I'm just doing some simple math here. Mm-hmm. He probably won't learn another 10% of the playbook, but let's say he does. Let's give him the benefit of the doubt. Let's say he's a genius and a Mensa resident, and he knows how to learn offenses fast. It's one of the great traits of Mark Sanchez, that and being good-looking and having a good press
really
conference.
Hair. Nice hair.
Really hair?
Really great hair. I tried to say great and sneak it in. I didn't get the great part.
Really good hair.
Really hair. What?
Smart hair. Good guy.
Sharp.
So let's say that he picked up the offense faster than most.
Mm-hmm.
Let's say he's at 35% of the playbook. He had an amazing week. He doesn't even know half of an offense that is one of the worst offenses in the league when it was operated by a guy who's been here for 5 years and a guy who you are paying a $90 million extension to. It's just not fair to Mark Sanchez to expect something substantial.
Grant, I took high school Spanish. So I could write down, and like with time, I could write down words and like conjugate things and remember the meanings due to memorization. And I could remember that I want is yo quiero. And I could learn a couple things, like the word for orange is naranja and like whatever, right? I remember those stupid things. I could regurgitate them. I went to Barcelona. By the way, they say the instead of the C. It's kind of infuriating. They over theta it. Barcelona, y the south of Barceloneta. It's very annoying. Anyway, the point is this. People are speaking Spanish. I couldn't come up with any words, even though I, quote, knew the words. Does that make sense?
Oh,
that's
yeah.
What this NFL offense is. You can know what a word means if you got time in a classroom to sit there. Oh, that's the X receiver. He's running this. It's very different when, I don't know, dudes are trying to knock your D into the dirt and force fumbles and intercepts you and mix coverages and blitz from different sides, and you don't know the right guard's name because he signed on Tuesday. This is going to be a disaster.
Do you know how to say Merry Christmas in Hawaiian?
Not in Hawaiian, no.
I do. Melly Clicky Mock.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Guy should have done that.
He got this, yeah. Guy. Huh? Patrick Corbin's press conference is next on a football and a Redskins Friday. You're going to hear from Corbin. You're going to hear from Mark Lerner, Grant, and Danny. Big news breaks in town. We covered as well as anybody on 106.7 The Fan. We're at Nationals Park for that reason. Keep it right here on G&D. Day for the Nationals here at Nats Park. We're Grant and Danny. You're listening to The Fan. Patrick Corbin has been signed. The team has made it official, announcing the acquisition earlier in the hour, of course, his press conference meeting with the media set for just a couple of minutes from right now. And when it starts, you will hear it live right here on 106.7 The Fan. We have seen Ryan Zimmerman in the building today. We've seen Max Scherzer here as well. Yan Gomes, who was acquired via trade last week, has also flown to D.C. for the press conference to get to meet his new battery mate, Patrick Corbin. Let's get to the podium right now at Nationals Park.
As organization of the Lerner Ownership family, we want to thank you all for being here this afternoon for this special occasion. And we want to thank those who are watching regionally on Masson, nationally on MLB Network, and from anywhere and everywhere on Twitter and Facebook Live. And to our loyal radio listeners on our home here in the nation's capital as well, 106.7 The Fan. It is my pleasure to introduce Nationals President of Baseball Operations and General Manager Mike Rizzo, and the newest member of the Nationals, two-time All-Star, including this past year, this past summer here at Nationals Park, to the nation's capital, the newest National, Patrick Corbin. We'd like to personally welcome Patrick and his wife, Jen, to the nation's capital and to the Washington Nationals family. We will now present Patrick with his new jersey.
So we'll get you back after the jersey presentation. That doesn't necessarily play all that well on the radio. Patrick Corbin, an 11-game winner last year with a 3.15 ERA, made 33 starts, struck out 246 batters in 200 innings. The free agency period beginning just a few weeks ago, he was widely considered the number one starting pitcher on the market, ahead of Dallas Keuchel, ahead of, among others, Jay Happ. Whoever got Patrick Corbin was reeling in the best fish in these waters, and the Nationals did that. And you got to give Mark Lerner, who's going to give the show a cameo in a few minutes, credit for that. Here's Mike Rizzo talking Pat Corbin right now.
Well, thanks for everybody for being here today. Well, a big day here at Nationals Park. Couldn't be happier to announce to you the signing of Patrick Corbin, the newest and brightest member of the Nationals family. He comes to us with considerable accolades and accomplishments. First and foremost, the things we heard most and best about him is the part of a team that he becomes. Being a great teammate is probably the best compliment you could ever have as a ball player, and he comes highly recommended by many, many people in the game. I'd like to thank Mark Lerner and Alan Gottlieb and ownership for making this possible. Thanks for being here tonight. As you've heard me say many, many times, you know, pitching is king in to win Major League Baseball games. And we couldn't be happier to have landed one of the premier left-handed pitchers in all of baseball in Patrick Corbin.
Thanks, guys. Just really excited to be here. Happy to be a part of this organization, the Washington Nationals. I want to thank Mike Rizzo for the opportunity, the Lerner family. Was able to have dinner with you guys a week or so ago, and just really understood this organization a lot better and how important winning is. And for me, that's always been a big thing for me, to have the opportunity to compete deep in the postseason. Like to thank my wife, Jen. She's been through a lot with me since I was drafted, so she's been everywhere. So it's great to have this opportunity to have a city that we'll be able to spend at least 6 years with. So excited for that. Want to thank my agent John Courtright for all the work he's done. Just hoping he can spend some time with his family here and get some rest. He's been amazing throughout the whole experience. Would like to thank my parents for everything they've done for me too. So, and my teammates here, I'm excited to join a ball club and be a part of something special. I know this pitching staff here definitely was a big reason that I wanted to come here. So I'm just excited to join you guys and glad I'm part of the family.
Thanks, Mike. Thanks, Patrick. We have microphones on each side of the room. We'll open up the questions for media. Just please wait for the microphone and state your name and outlet prior to asking your questions. So we'll start with far right.
Chelsea from the Washington Post. Welcome to D.C. What kind of were your impressions of this organization before you had the chance to kind of speak with Rizzo and the Lerner family, and kind of what do you see here now that you like, besides obviously the opportunity to win?
We've always loved coming here as a visiting team, coming to this ballpark. It's always been a competitive team that we've played against. It was always a challenge for us, and that's obviously something that we've looked for, and having somewhere where you can come live, and there's so many things to do in the city that we're looking forward to experience together, and just for me to be a part of it is going to be really special.
Hi, Mark Zuckerman from Mass, and you mentioned the desire to be a part of a pitching staff like this. You got two of them right here who are going to be with you. What have your impressions of them been from afar, and what do you think you guys can kind of learn from each other and build off each other being part of a group like that?
Yeah, I wasn't sure who was going to be here, so it's kind of getting to meet someone for the first time. Just watching them compete out there, I mean, that's a big thing. Max, obviously, the competitor he is. Strasburg to see as well, and the other guys too. It's going to be fun to learn from these guys. I've been fortunate to have Zach Greinke in Arizona for a couple years now, and have gotten to pick his brain just sitting on the bench when I'm not pitching, and also watching him perform. So being able to do those things definitely helps, and I'm always willing to learn, try to get better. And from things I've heard, this organization is willing to do that as well.
Jamal in front.
Jamal Collier, MLB.com. Welcome. Obviously you had some kind of good years in the past, but last year was kind of a big step for you. Was there anything specific that kind of clicked for you, or just why do you think you were able to have the success you had last season?
I'd credit it to multiple things. I've always just tried to be as well prepared as I could, try to pick up things every year. I knew coming in, I felt great that season. I was ready to go, and try to just, I think the analytical part of the game, learned a lot more through Dan Heron, who was a big part of our starting staff over in Arizona, helped out a lot. Just knowing the right pitches to throw, when to throw them, adding another breaking ball, changing speeds, being able to control my fastball and my slider. So just a combination of all those things, I think, helped. I've had time at times where I've been able to do it. Last year was just easier for me to be more consistent, I'd say, and something I can continue to improve, get better as we go.
Tom in the middle.
Hi, Tom Boswell from the Washington Post. Nice to have you here. When you talked about adding a breaking ball, having a curveball instead of the changeup you kind of battled with for years, can you talk about evolving and getting an off-speed pitch that actually worked for you, and maybe a little bit about how you've used the slider so much recently?
Yeah. I've learned a lot through talking with our hitters, and I've been able to play with one of the best in Paul Goldschmidt, and watching some other pitchers in our division, how a slower pitch gave some hitters trouble, and it can be a free strike early in the count, or something you could just keep them off balance. And my slider has always been my pitch that I've thrown to both sides of the plate to any hitter, so it's something I've always had. So it really helped just adding that other pitch that I was comfortable throwing whenever. And fastball command has always been something that I've thrived on as well. So just a combination of all those.
Chelsea.
This one's for Mike. You obviously talk a lot about, you know, signings like these. It's about the person, not necessarily the player entirely. And 6 years, you guys were the only ones willing to go to that sixth year and make that kind of commitment. What about Patrick did you learn in all your conversations and when you studied him that made you want to make that kind of long-term commitment?
Well, you know, as we do with anybody that we're attracted to as far as or their performances, we try and get in depth with who they are and what kind of person they are. And I've said many times that when you're doing these type of deals, it's more about the person than it is the player. And all our due diligence led us to the crossroads of this is a guy that we want to get to know better because this is a guy that fits everything we're trying to do. So when we started the courting process, if you will, when we went out to dinner, we learned a lot about what their interests are, Jen and Patrick, and how we interacted with people in the that type of thing. And I think that, you know, bringing this type of personality, this type of attitude is going to be important, not only on the mound, in between the lines, but in the clubhouse, in the community, in that type of thing. And I think it says a lot about who we are as a team that you have Max Scherzer, Jan Gomes, Ryan Zimmerman, and Steven Strasburg at this press conference, because it's something that resonates to me personally, and it shows the type of cohesiveness and tight-knit group that that we become.
Jesse?
Jesse Dougherty from the Washington Post. How much did the Nationals' aggressiveness so far this offseason factor in your decision, and particularly the two catchers they got?
Yeah, that's, I mean, a huge part, signing Gomes and Suzuki. I've got to watch them over the last couple of years, and it's just, it's a big part of the game. I had Jeff Mathis in Arizona the last couple of years, and he takes pride behind the plate and watching these guys. They do the same thing, and I know I throw a lot of pitches down the zone that might spike or wild, but those guys save me a lot. So, and just having confidence with them, I like to go over a game plan before games and be on the same page. So when you're out there, there's no second questions. You have all the confidence in the world with that pitch. So.
Jamal, you're from.
This one's for Mike. As I mentioned earlier, Corpus had some good years, but last year was obviously the best. What kind of gives you confidence that last year is kind of closer to the version of the pitcher you're signing and that you'll kind of get going forward?
Well, we like the fact that, he's several years past the Tommy John surgery. We've evaluated him as a pitcher that is learning his craft as he goes. He's a young 29-year-old pitcher with great aptitude, learning a pitch on the fly isn't easy, as these two guys in the front row can attest to. But if you're able to have the dexterity and the ability to learn new pitches at the major league level and succeed with them, that tells me something. Athleticism really factored into this move because we think that he's one of the more athletic pitchers in the league. And I think that bodes well for longevity and being able to sustain your stuff. So all those things factored in. We like that the needle's moving north at 29 years old, and we like the fact that all the sexy stats, as sure as Mad Max says, coming to play. Strikeouts up, walks are down, ERA, all those factors are going in the right direction. So we feel good about it.
President of Baseball Operations Mike Rizzo, the Nationals introducing Patrick Corbin. 6 years, $140 million. They open up the checkbook, outbid the Yankees, his favorite team growing up among other clubs, to bring in the lefty starter. You got Scherzer, Strasburg, Ryan Zimmerman, as Rizzo mentioned, all in the ballpark today. A great sign for the Nationals. Mark Lerner will join us to talk about this high-priced addition. We'll also talk to Patrick Corbin live on Grant and Danny, the two-time All-Star. We'll stop by. Next, our top five NFL games of the weekend, and Lerner and Corbin early next hour right here on The Fan. Alongside Danny Ruye, I'm Grant Paulson. You're listening to 106.7 The Fan. We're live at Nats Park. We just brought you Patrick Corbin's introductory press conference. He and Mike Rizzo taking questions from the media. Corbin's going to be on the show, as will Mark Lerner, coming up in the 1 o'clock hour, so don't navigate away from your flagship home for Nationals baseball. But right now, Danny, let's break down the top five NFL games of the weekend. We do it each and every Friday ahead of what's going on in the National Football League. So I'll give you my top five. Danny, what I need you to do at that point is tell me what I got wrong.
I will agree to do this.
Let's start with number five, fifth best game in the slate, Panthers-Browns. I like this game for a couple reasons. Number one, Carolina has now lost four straight games. They are suddenly outside of the playoffs looking in. Big problem for them. Meanwhile, Cleveland getting back home, coming off a disastrous showing in Houston. Much better in Cleveland, where they've won 3 of 4 right on the lake in Ohio. I actually think this is going to be super competitive, maybe a field goal game. Carolina's desperate. Cam Newton has a shoulder problem. Cleveland's defense is outstanding, and I have fun watching Baker Mayfield, who's coming off of a dud. Need him to bounce back. There wasn't really a great fifth game, so by default, Panthers-Browns.
That was thoughtful. That was lucid. That was coherent. That was well put, and it made a lot of sense. You could have just said you're Browns, Paulson. Everybody knows you're Browns Paulson.
I love the Cleveland Browns.
You're Browns Paulson. That's probably my number five game, too, because some intrigue from what you mentioned. But
have they
Browns
made
Paulson.
It every single week, I think?
They've found a way. They were your first two Grant's best wishes.
Yep.
And they've been in your top five games every week.
They also helped ruin my parlay this past weekend.
Yeah, they did.
So I just keep betting on the Browns, and I keep coming up empty. Number four, there are actually four fantastic games. So this gets us, you know what, I'll say three fantastic games, four good games this week, and this gets us into the next tier. Bear Jones's Dallas Cowboys hosting the Philadelphia Eagles, NFC East football. If Dallas wins, the NFC East is probably theirs. I know there's 3 weeks left, but if the Cowboys win, they are going to win the division. If the Eagles win, we got ourselves a back and
it's
forth
a whole new thing.
For the remainder of the campaign. Philadelphia beat Washington, obviously, tried to turn the corner now. I think the Cowboys win. Ezekiel Elliott's run for over $120 last 2 weeks, ran for over $150 not long before that, and the Eagles can't stop the run. I think it's a bad matchup for them.
This, to me, is higher simply because it directly affects the Redskins. You put what the Redskins are doing and what's going on with them in a vacuum. Forget about that. NFC East, divisional standing. Technically, the Redskins are still very much alive, even though I think the Cowboys wrapped up the division last week by beating New Orleans. But be that as it may, they're still technically in it. This one affects them, so it always ranks higher for me because of my personal rooting interest. Make sense?
You do it kind of in a more personal way, whereas I just go with the games around the country.
Objectively, it's not as good a game as others, but because
three,
I care a lot about it.
Better, Ravens-Chiefs.
Yep.
Baltimore playoff bound as of right now. Lamar Jackson is a sexy storyline. They've won three in a row. He's running all over the place. They play in Kansas City against the Chiefs. I see this game playing out in favor of Kansas City handily, by the way. I think the Chiefs get out to an early lead, 10-3, 13-7, something like that.
I'd love to see this,
and the Ravens have to throw the ball.
I want to see that.
If Baltimore has to throw the ball with Lamar Jackson at quarterback, obvious third down and or just behind in a game, a la Washington early in the year, it's not going to happen. I don't think you can win with him dropping back and being a passer in the pocket right now. They haven't had to. They've been able to run, play close games, stay up or within a possession. Kansas City's so explosive, though. If they have a 20-point first half, I think the Ravens are in trouble. Give me Kansas City to win at home at Arrowhead, but I do think that's going to be a blast of a matchup.
Contrasting styles. So they're the opposite of each other right now.
Number one defense in the league, number one yards per play offense in the league.
Two storylines of note. One, Lamar Jackson, you mentioned. The second, no Kareem Hunt. They got away with it in week one against Oakland. The operation didn't look the same. Well, they still scored 40 points, but it was a little bit different. You didn't have one bell cow back kind of doing it. It was everybody all hands in for them. The Baltimore Ravens defense, in my mind, if they're not the best, they're top three in this league. I love the opposing styles going at it. If it's low scoring enough, the Ravens can win it.
Number two game of the week, the Vikings and the Seahawks. Major wild card ramifications here. Minnesota, as of right now, is the last team in. They are the sixth seed in the NFC. Seattle is the five seed at this point. Seattle's probably going to make the playoffs based on their schedule, because if they lose to Minnesota, they'll bounce back and win some games late in the year, including San Francisco. But it's not a lock, and they need this game. They are trying to create some momentum to be able to beat a division winner, ultimately in round one. Meanwhile, for the Vikings, this is massive and pertinent, and if they lose, they're in big trouble. There are three teams nipping at their heels, and they were actually out before the Redskins lost on Monday night to end week 13. Minnesota and Kirk Cousins had huge expectations coming into the year.
They've been disappointing, yeah.
Defense got off to a bad start. Cousins has played poorly in two games that really hurt them. They are not what they were supposed to have been, but if they can win, maybe it's all for naught and they get into the playoffs and they can try to go on a run.
They could be the dangerous team, right? The team with expectations that fall short. It's almost like a Calipari, a Kentucky basketball team with five freshmen, where they don't start off real well or they start off disappointing, but then come tournament time, once they've played together for 4 or 5 months, they become that much more dangerous. That Minnesota team is still capable. This is a massive one this weekend.
Lastly, Rams-Bears.
My one seed.
Is Chicago an adult? Do they get to sit at the table with the other people wearing the wedding rings? Or are they at the kids' table eating on the plastic, you know, little tyke stuff? That's what we need to figure out.
Are you on the record. The casino table. You know what I mean? The side one.
Hey, do you have that table in the basement? Can you pull it up, hon, and go put a
bring the card table, hon. Put a tablecloth on.
Rams are outstanding. Bears have a really good record. I don't know if they are. Same thing with the Bears, by the way. If the Rams get up on them, I know it's at Soldier Field, but can they throw to get their way back into a game? We might have to find that out finally. Mitch Trubisky is expected to play. So what did I get wrong here, Danny? Bears-Rams is my number one. Vikings-Seahawks number two. Ravens-Chiefs third. Eagles-Cowboys fourth. And then the Panthers and the Browns. What would you take out?
I'd take out your number five game. Here's what I'm putting in instead. New Orleans-Tampa. Now, you know I'm NFC South roulette, but here's the only reason why it goes in there.
You are such a mark.
New Orleans lost last week. I want to see my morbid curiosity. I want to see what New Orleans does to Tampa Bay, the worst defense in the world. Do they get 65 points? Could they score 70 this week? I want that mad and angry New Orleans team after losing to Dallas, all their frustration. I'm looking forward to that one.
A Saints season ticket holder doesn't like the NFC South as much as you do. He's Danny. I'm Grant. This is The Fan. Patrick Corbin, the newest member of the Nationals, just introduced to the media, joins our show live next at the top of the hour right here on The Fan.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.